pleasure to be with all of you once again. People come from all over the world to Goa with the promise that they will enjoy the pleasures of this world like no other place. In fact, Goa is the most famous place in the entire subcontinent of India for enjoying material sense enjoyment. But what people do not understand is the real treasure of happiness that they can experience here in Goa. And that is through connecting to the great spiritual culture of our great acharyas who have established true Sanatan Dharma here in Goa. My beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, he explains that the root cause of all suffering, dukkha, is that we have forgotten mamaivam so jivaloke jivabuddha sanatana manashastanandriyani prakriti stani karshati, that we're all part and parcel of the Supreme Being of Krishna. Under the illusion that we are independent of the power of God's grace, trying to find the enjoyment which is the very nature of the soul, we take one material body after another and become implicated in the complexities of material actions and reactions, or karma. But the great souls, the acharyas, on the basis of knowledge of the shastras, the word of Bhagavan, we understand we're not these bodies and minds. We're the eternal soul. But just understanding that we're an eternal soul is only partial realization. The Srimad Bhagavatam declares, Vadanti tat tat vipitas tatvam yajkanam advayam Brahmiti paramatmiti bhagavaniti shabjate. There's three levels of realization of the one supreme truth. It describes in this verse that the absolute truth is advaita, is one. But that supreme one that is the cause of everything that exists, janmadya shagata, forever has three features, is existing in three different ways, simultaneously, forever. As the all-pervading supreme oneness of Brahman, as the localized presence and witness within the heart of every living entity, and in and between every atom is Paramatma. And as the supreme, all-attractive, loving reciprocator of Prem, or Bhagavan. So to understand that we are not this body, that we are the eternal soul, and the nature of the soul is najayate mriyate vakadachyat, it's beyond birth, it's beyond death. It's beyond all the miseries. To have realization of Brahman, to understand that we are eternal, Brahman, aham brahmasmi, is to realize a state of consciousness beyond all pain, beyond all suffering, a state of shanti, or complete peace. But the Srimad Bhagavat declares that this is a partial understanding of the nature of the soul. When we realize that we are part of Krishna, that's where true bhakti begins. Bhakti yoga is the yoga practice that brings us to the highest platform of prema. But the word bhakti, or divine love, pure unalloyed devotion, actually begins at the point of liberation. Because in the liberated state, we understand that beyond the shanti and the peace, where there is no suffering, there's something more, and that is love. The dynamics of the ecstasy of the love that is reciprocated between the Jivatma and the Paramatma. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins his teachings to Sri Sanatana Goswami with this jewel of wisdom. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. That our nature is not just eternal. Our nature is we're eternally the loving servant of the Supreme. And I would like to explain this idea from the perspective of a tiny little boy who had just died. Would you like to hear the story? It's spoken of in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. There we find that every night, actually in the early evening, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, Varnam Visakrishnam Sangam Pangasha Parashadama Yagyaya Sankirtanapurayaya Yajanti Hushamedasha. The Srimad Bhagavat tells that in this age of Kali, Krishna appears in a form that is unlike Krishna. He comes in a beautiful yellow complexion or golden complexion. And he's worshipped through Sankirtan, the yajna of the congregational chanting of the holy names. It's prophesizing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip, in West Bengal, he established this Sankirtan movement by citing from the Vedic literatures, Kalera dosa nide rajan asti heko mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha param prajait. This age of Kali is an ocean of faults. Goa is very famous for ocean. When you go to the seashore and you look out, you cannot see the end of the ocean.
But Kali is compared to an ocean of difficulties. But there's one blessing in this age of Kali. It's simply by chanting the names of Krishna, the names of the Supreme Being, one can attain the perfection of liberation. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, there is no better way. The Upanishads, the Puranas, the Vedic literatures describe than the congregational chanting of God's names. So Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, who came to this world, Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam, to taste the sweetness of Radha's love, Krishna, with the sweetness of Radha's love being tasted within his heart. He came in the role of a devotee to teach us how to be devotees. Every evening, just as the sun was setting near the river Ganga in Srinavadvip Dham, he would gather with very loving, elevated Vaishnavas in the house of Srivas. And there they would have kirtan all night long. And they did this every night for 1 year. I'm going to gradually lead us into the message that's so important for us to embrace within our minds. Once they were chanting and they were singing, there were great, great saints who were assembled. Many of you know their names: Advaita, Gadadhar, Nityananda. Srivas was there with his brothers, Sri Ram, Sripati, Sri Nidhi. There was Suklambar, Pundarik, Vidyanidhi, Thakur Haridas. There was Murari Gupta and Bakreshwar Pandit. They were all chanting and singing in great love, sharing their ecstatic love for Krishna with each other. Now among them, and there were dozens and dozens, many were famous acharyas, gurus, self-realized souls, great scholars of scriptures. And there was one simple girl. She was really not known to anyone. She was a maid servant. She just did menial chores. She was in the background, actually off to the side. And everyone else was chanting and dancing with Lord Chaitanya. And she was going to the Ganges to collect water in little pots. And she'd take one pot at a time. And she was lining on the sides of the courtyard. She was lining each side with so many little pots of water from Ganga. Because as the devotees were chanting and dancing, sometimes they became thirsty, sometimes they became hot and wanted to wash themselves. And she could understand that. Nobody told her to do it. She just wanted to serve. It's interesting. Everyone else was dancing, everyone else was right in the middle, and she was just off to the side, one pot after another, footing there. And every now and then, she'd look up and she'd see Lord Gauranga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his beautiful lotus-like eyes streaming with tears of ecstatic love for Krishna and divine compassion for all living beings. She would see his wonderful golden form dancing with a dance that no one had ever seen, where every limb was an expression of Sri Radha's love for Krishna. In this world, sometimes we value something by the external appearance. But as we become tuned in to the true self through yoga, through dharma, and what happens is we begin more and more to value what is really important. And that's the purpose, the intent of what we or others are doing. Whether a person is a very poor person, a very wealthy person, a very knowledgeable person, or one who really doesn't have much education at all, what's really important? What is their intention in life? If it's greed, arrogance, if we're envious, if we're acting out of anger, selfishness, and whether we have a little or a lot inside, there's really nothing there except pollution. The cleaner our heart becomes, the more we're naturally humble. And whatever we do, yat karoshya nashnashi yaj johoshya dadasi, yat we do it as an offering of compassion to others, an offering of love to God. So when Lord Chaitanya and his devotees were dancing, every movement of their limbs was an external expression of the divine gratitude, humility, and love that was within their heart. That is spiritual dance. And in the same way, whatever we do, whatever we speak, as we become more spiritually connected, it's an expression of our gratitude. And in our gratitude, we're humbled by God's grace. And we express that humility and gratitude and love through seva, through our service. Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam. There's 9 processes of devotional service: hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping the archana, the murti, rendering service, becoming friends, surrendering everything, offering prayers. They're all seva. Everything a realized person does is in a mood of seva. But we can't understand that without receiving mercy. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that I am speaking Bhagavad Gita to you, and you can understand it. And he gives 3 reasons. 1, because you're not envious. You cannot understand any spiritual knowledge truly unless you're free of envy. And the other two reasons, because you're my friend and you're my devotee. So if we have envy in our heart, does that mean we're hopeless? No, it means we recognize that this is an impediment. And we become even more enthusiastic to practice these principles of bhakti and seva, to purify ourselves of these anartas, or these unwanted qualities. The more we see unwanted qualities in our heart, we don't get discouraged, but rather the opposite. We become motivated. First of all, we're humbled. I'm really not advanced at all. If I was, I wouldn't have all these anartas, these unwanted things like envy and lust and anger and greed, arrogance. When I see them, we humble ourselves and we take shelter. Enechi ashadi maya nashi barolagi harinam mahamantra lao tumi magi. We understand we have a disease, so we'll take the medicine. If you're not sure if you have a disease, you probably won't take the medicine so seriously. But when you know it and you see it, you take shelter. And what is that medicine? Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Engaging in the Lord's service is the medicine. And it's for sure. It's been tested and proven since time immemorial. So Dukhi, she would see Lord Chaitanya dancing. And Lord Chaitanya was actually revealing to her his Mahabhav and his beauty. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that he's the source of all beauty. All the most beautiful, wonderful, and amazing things that mesmerize our hearts in this entire creation is not even a spark of God's beauty that's being reflected through this world. So what is that beauty when we're seeing Bhagavan face to face? He was revealing that to her. Now, for most people, if you're seeing Lord Chaitanya dancing and he's gazing upon you, you're just going to stand there and enjoy like anything. But not this girl. She understood. She didn't want to just see the Lord. She wanted to please the Lord. My param guru, Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he would say, do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna is pleased to see you. Yayatamam prabhajyante tamstataiva bhajami. Then the Lord reveals himself. He reciprocates. Sansadir hari toshanam. So she would see the Lord and then she would run back to the Ganga and bring back some more water for all the devotees. And after some time, Lord Chaitanya turned to Srivas, whose house this was, and said, who is this lady? Who is this girl? And Srivas said, her name is Dukhi. Dukhi means one who is miserable. Now, why would a parent name their child the miserable one, Dukhi? Likely it's because they probably, the way, especially in Bengal in those days, everything was very psychologically planned out. They probably had children who all died when they were very young. So they named this girl Dookie, which means she's miserable. And to have a name like that, maybe Yamaraj would feel sorry for her and let her live. But anyway, she was from a very, very poor family. She had no education. She was just a simple maidservant. When Srivas said, her name is Dukhi, Lord Chaitanya said, anyone who serves with her humility, with her sincerity, is not Dukhi. She is Suki. And when he gave her that name, he gave her the highest perfection of ananda, of liberation. He gave her Bhagavat Prem. And from that point on, even the greatest of the acharyas and the saints who were present, they gave her such high honor. And what did she do? She just continued bringing water from the Ganga for everyone to drink and to refresh themselves. And sometimes they take that water and pour it on Lord Chaitanya. So this kirtan was going on throughout the night. But something happened in the early evening. Srivas, he heard inside his house, there was crying. So he went in. And the people who were inside, his family, they told him, your son, he had a disease which caused a fever, and he has just died. Srivas is very soft-hearted, loving devotee. What is a Vaishnav? A Vaishnav is paradukaduki, one who his or her pain is the pain of others. His or her happiness is the happiness of others. True detachment is not to become hard-hearted. It's to become deeply soft-hearted, but on a transcendental spiritual level. Naturally, we read about in the Mahabharata when Abhimanyu was killed unfairly by great Maharati leaders of the Kurus. When the news came to his father, Arjuna, his uncles, Yudhisthira, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, and his mother, Subhadra, the loving sister of Krishna, they all cried. They were beside themselves. Arjuna got very angry too, that his son was killed in that way. Why? Because Arjuna already heard from Bhagavad Gita, asocha nanvasochastvam. Krishna says to Arjuna in the very second chapter of the Gita, you should not lament for the living or the dead. And Arjuna was Krishna's friend. So why was he crying? A great professor asked Prabhupada, our guru, this question. If one who's transcendental is beyond the bodily concept of life, why did Arjuna and Yudhisthira weep? And Subhadra? And Prabhupada said, even if one is transcendental, it's natural. Being transcendental doesn't mean that you don't have a human nature. Your human nature is directed in a spiritual direction. It's integrated with self-realization. He said it's natural if a mother and father lose their child, their heart is going to feel deep separation from their child. But Arjuna was transcendental. He knew his son was this eternal soul. He knew his son was not dead. He knew his soul was going to go back to the spiritual world because he was so dear to Krishna. But still, the medium in which he could relate to his son in the form of that body and mind was no longer there. So it was an expression of love for the soul, for the eternal soul. But he didn't give up his duty. He kept his service to Krishna. So devotees are soft-hearted. So Srivas, the most soft-hearted of all devotees, he just lost his son, young boy. And he's seeing the mother and all the other relatives uncontrollably weeping. Srivas, with his very soft heart, he gave them solace. He said, please understand this. Yes, we are. And I'm going to speak a combination of what is the specific verses from the Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, where this is coming from, along with the explanation of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's an elaboration with his realizations. Srivas says, yes, we are all feeling separation, but we should be happy. Because my son, he left this world surrounded by the chanting of the holy names of Sri Krishna. According to the Shastra, anyone who dies hearing the name of Krishna will get liberated. Not only did he hear the name of Krishna, but Advaita and Gadadhar and Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is present in that house, dancing and singing. How fortunate is our son? He has certainly attained the highest destination. Srivas said, I wish, I pray that I could leave my body the way my son did. And we should all pray in that way. How fortunate he is. And then he told his relatives that Lord Chaitanya is singing and dancing in ecstasy. If he finds out that our little boy has passed away, he will become sad. We should not make him sad. He should be happy. If his ecstatic chanting and dancing is disturbed, Srivas said, then I myself will take my life in the river Ganges. So please be peaceful. So everyone understood, and they were solaced. But it was a very mixed solace. They were simultaneously celebrating the good fortune of their son and suffering the separation from their son. But they did it very quietly. And Srivas Thakur, who loved his son more than any of us could love anyone, he loved everyone like that. He went back to the kirtan and danced jubilantly. How could you dance jubilantly in a situation like that? He was doing it just to make Lord Chaitanya happy. The kirtan went on throughout the whole night until early morning. Lord Chaitanya, who's Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishtiti, he's in everyone's heart. He knows everything, ultimately. Suddenly, he stopped the kirtan. He said, I am feeling sadness in my heart. Has something happened in the house of Srivas to cause this sadness in my heart? The first person to answer his question was Srivas. Srivas Thakur said, my beloved Lord, there is only joy in my heart when your smiling face is present and you are dancing blissfully. There could only be happiness and auspiciousness. Lord Chaitanya asked everyone else, did something happen here? And little by little, devotees started telling him, actually, Srivas Thakur's son died. Little by little, the news was coming to the awareness of the different devotees. Lord Chaitanya said, when did this happen? Devotees replied, it happened about 7.5 hours ago. Mahaprabhu asked, why didn't anyone tell me? And they said, because Srivas, he didn't want to disturb your happiness in kirtan. Lord Chaitanya's heart totally melted. With a choked voice, he exclaimed that Srivas, his love for me, his desire to please me, is so pure that he did not, even in the situation of the death of his own son, he would not cause me any pain. That is how much he loves me. Then Lord Chaitanya began to cry uncontrollably and said, how will I ever be able to tolerate separation from such a loving devotee as Srivas, whose service to me is not even disturbed by the death of his own son? At that moment, the devotees were shocked. What does he mean? What does he mean? How will I tolerate separation? that means he's going to leave us? And they began to speculate that soon he's going to take sannyas and leave us.
Then Lord Chaitanya went to the place where the little child's body was laying. He said, "My beloved Jiva, why did you leave the house of your father and mother, Malini and Srivas?" At that moment, the child came alive. Miraculously, he rose from the dead. He sat up and spoke. He said, "My beloved Lord, everything is happening by the power of destiny, and that destiny is ultimately controlled by you. I am an eternal soul. I am not this body, and I am not this body, mind. In the past, I have had so many fathers and so many mothers. I have taken birth in the world of the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Asuras, the demons. I've taken birth as insects and aquatics. I've taken birth as animals and beasts, as birds. I've taken so many such births, and in each one I had mothers and fathers. But by ultimate good fortune, in this birth, by your mercy, I was given the association of Srivas and Malini, who nourished me, nurtured me with pure love and devotion. And every night, I would be among your devotees in your association, chanting the holy names of Krishna and seeing your kirtan. How grateful I am. How fortunate I am that I have had this birth. But now, it is my destined time to leave this world. It is by your grace, Krishna, that I've been given this life, and it's by your grace that it's now time to leave. I only have one prayer. If I'm ever to take birth again anywhere, let me have loving devotion to you. And let me be in the association of you, and let me worship your devotees." After speaking these words, the child laid down again, and his soul disappeared from his body. But now all the relatives, all the friends, all the devotees, everyone, after hearing him speaking, they understood that this child has attained the ultimate liberation. And not only that, he spoke wisdom, pearls of wisdom that completely illuminated their hearts. Krishna Surya Samaya Hoyandakar. Where there's the sun, there can be no darkness. Maya is darkness, ignorance. And true knowledge, Krishna, is like the sun. Their hearts were illuminated. Obviously, it was a mixed feeling. This is described by Vrindavan Das Thakur and Thakur Bhaktivinoda.
They were feeling the deep separation from their child, but at the same time, they were celebrating his good fortune. And they understood that for the soul, birth and death is inevitable. What's really important is what we do with our life and the destination of the soul when it departs from this world. That's the glory of life. Shukadev Goswami tells that a successful life is not the number of years. It's the quality of each moment that we live. That's a great life. Even one moment in consciousness of loving service to the Supreme is a greater life than hundreds and hundreds of years wasted in attention to superficialities. At that time, Lord Chaitanya, actually Srivas and all his brothers and all the family, they all came and bowed down to Lord Chaitanya and prayed, "Let us take birth anywhere, it doesn't matter. Let us live or die in any situation, but let us always have shelter of your lotus feet. Let us always be immersed in remembering you and serving you." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Srivas is exemplifying the true glory of family life. The Grihastha ashram is a glorious ashram. Because Srivas, he's revealing his heart. He cared for his wife cared for him, and Malini and Srivas, they cared for their children, they cared for their home, they cared for everything, but in what consciousness?" Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, "Manaso deho geho jo kichu mor arpilun tuau pade nanda kishor. My body, my mind, my children, my husband, my wife, my home, my property, all of my abilities, everything is yours, Krishna. Sarvaloka Maheshwara." Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, everything in all of creation is his property. Whatever abilities we have, whatever intelligence we have, whatever words we can speak, whatever resources, influence we have, it's all entrusted to us from Krishna, from Bhagavan. So to recognize that, Srivas, he had such love for his son. He dedicated his son to Krishna, has entrusted this child in my care. And Lord Chaitanya was saying, just see the nature of a true saint. With such love in his heart, he's dedicated everything his family, and therefore he will never be unhappy. Lord Chaitanya said, "I am so conquered by your love. I not only give your son the ultimate liberation, but for the rest of eternity, myself and Lord Nityananda are your own sons. We will remain your sons." Upon hearing that, the devotees cried.
how the Lord loves the devotee and how the devotee loves the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya is so gracious to that child. He personally picked up the child and had a kirtan procession from Srivasangam to the river Ganga. And Lord Chaitanya entered into the Ganga with the little body of the child. And with Lord Chaitanya's tears of affection, the goddess Ganga, she emerged out of the water and took the little child in her own embrace. Lord Chaitanya took his soul to the spiritual world, and Ganga took his body, representing that he has achieved the highest liberation. And in the spirit, they continued chanting the holy names, and each of them went to their own respective homes. Lord Chaitanya, he was so much in love with Krishna. And love for Krishna manifests from the heart as compassion for all beings. In his house, he had a Shalagram Shila that his father, Jagannath Mishra, and mother, Sachi Devi, entrusted him to worship. He would bathe in the Ganga because there's principles he was teaching of archana. When we worship Lord Vishnu, there's certain standards of cleanliness. And what are these standards for? What are these apparent rules and technicalities of puja and seva? They're to give us a very, very attentive state of consciousness. Because that's what devotion means. If we love someone, we serve them with great attention. If a mother's love for a child is not just ritualistic. It's very attentive. So all the rituals of the Vedic injunctions and all the rituals of archana and puja are actually meant to help us to become deeply attentive to the spirit of absorbing ourselves and remembering Krishna and serving Krishna to please Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya would pick up Shalagram Vishnu. And because he was feeling God in his hands, he was feeling Shamsundar, Gopinath in his hands, uncontrollably he would cry. And those tears of Ananda, Paramananda, of supreme ecstasy, totally soaked his clothes. And you're not supposed to do puja when you have soaked clothes. So he would put Gopinath Shila down and he would come out and he would change his clothes and he'd pick up Shalagram Shila and again he would start crying and his clothes would be soaked and he'd put Vishnu down again and again and again. And after some time he called his dearest friend Gadadhar and he handed the Shila to Gadadhar and said, "I'm not qualified to worship Vishnu, so you please do it for me." That was the nature of his absorption, the nature of his love. And later, Lord Chaitanya entrusted Tota Gopinath in the same way to Gadadhar Pandit in Sri Jagannath.
absorption
in remembering Krishna. Absorption in seva for the pleasure of Krishna
is the constitutional nature of the jiva, the soul.
And in this particular chapter of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur declares that actually it's spoken by Srivas. Whether we're going through hard times or very difficult times, whether we're experiencing in life great successes to celebrate or tragedies that break our hearts, whether things are going smoothly or there seems to be insurmountable crisis. All these different dualities come upon everyone in one form or another. It's life in this world. But in whatever situation there is, if we can remember Sri Krishna, if we could remember the Supreme Truth and absorb ourselves in taking shelter, then everything becomes auspicious. Because the nature of the jiva, the nature of the soul in this world, is it has to pass through all these sunny and stormy days. Just yesterday, I spoke to my father. He's 95 years old. I spoke to him on telephone. He's in Chicago. He told me that the day I was speaking to him, the weather in Chicago was Celsius 34 degrees below zero, minus 34. Fahrenheit, 23 degrees below zero. Do you know how cold that is? If you cry, your tears within a second become ice. It's very cold. 34 degrees below zero. And the government was telling everyone, do not go outside. Because if you go outside, within 1 minute you can get frostbite, which means your skin becomes... And frostbite is so dangerous that oftentimes when you get frostbite, the only way to live is they have to cut off your limbs. They have to amputate. So many people were dying from cold. But at the same time, I was told, while it's 34 degrees below zero in the Chicago area in America, it's record-breaking heat in Australia. There's people dying because of too much heat. In one part of the world, there's record-breaking cold, and another part, it's record-breaking heat. In Australia, they're praying for cold. In North America, they're praying for heat. Matrasparashastu Kunteya Sitos Nasukadukada Agamapayano Nityastham Stitikshaswa Bharata. Winter and summer seasons, sometimes they go on simultaneously. But we learn that if in whatever situation may come, and they're all going to come, so many seasons pass in life, we try our best to live with compassion, to live, to do the best we can for our loved ones and for the world. But we understand that our greatest power is when we take shelter of the Lord. Because when we remember the Lord and take shelter of the Lord, Nama Sankirtanam Vishnus Saravamangalam, that the supreme, most auspicious activity in all of creation is when we take shelter of remembering the Lord. And the simplest, the most powerful way of that remembrance is in the chanting of the holy names. That is why Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. This kirtan is the prime benediction for humanity at large. We should try the very best we can to make things the best we can for our families and the world. But ultimately, the best thing we can do is inspire one another to remember God. Then everything is auspicious. And that benediction is so easily accessible to all through the congregational chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And therefore, the very perfection of yoga, the perfection of religion, the perfection of dharma, Sarva dharman parityasya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishami masajaha. Is to take shelter of the holy names. Srila Prabhupada had such faith in this message. I arrived here in Goa this afternoon. I was just remembering this. He left India. On a cargo ship. In a totally poverty state materially. He was comfortable in Vrindavan, but he left it all at 70 years old with no help, with no funds, with no connections, except with Lord, with Krishna in his heart. He had such faith in God's names that he can take it anywhere in the world. Prithivityachiyata nagaradigram. It was Lord Chaitanya's wish, every town, every village, let them find true happiness in this kirtan. And by his mercy, here in Goa, where people are coming by the thousands, tens and thousands every year from Europe and from America and from Australia and from Russia, and they're looking for nice beaches and nice things to eat and nice things to drink and nice people to socialize and enjoy with. We have something wonderful to offer them.
Anandam. Anandamayobhyashat, the true happiness that they're seeking. Krishna's love. Thank you very much.
RG Media YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe.